a long leased apartment. In the contract, it's written a clause that at the end of every year, he can back out as long as he gives a 3 month warning. See?
As long as what?
He gives a 3 month warning.
Prior to the year
finishing. That opt-out is only for the purpose of the renter. Otherwise, it's for rent for 10 years. He moves in, and his wife convinces him that the standard of the kitchen is not up to scratch. It's a 10-year-old kitchen. Let's do it up! So, moving, decided, okay, I'm going to be here for 10 years. I might as well improve the kitchen. So he puts in a new kitchen. After 2 years, his financial position deteriorates and he's forced to move back to the States. So he breaks the contract, as he's allowed to, after 2 years. Now he comes with a claim to the owner of the apartment. Look, you had an old 10-year-old kitchen. I put in a new kitchen. Okay, it's 2 years old, but I want compensation now for the kitchen which I provided you.
It's not possible to take the kitchen out.
He doesn't want to take the kitchen out. It's not possible to take the kitchen.
The landlord could say, go take your kitchen. I don't want your kitchen. Mm-hmm. The landlord could say, I don't want your kitchen. Take it with you.
The landlord says, look, I didn't want the kitchen originally. I was quite happy with the old kitchen. You put in that kitchen. So I don't want to pay for it. About what? Improvements to the property. There's a standard clause in the contract that says that anything that's added to the property belongs to the property.
There is?
Yes. As you know, there's such a standard clause. Usually goes into rental contracts. Yes. So what did we say last week? Do you remember?
Yeah. I'm with you. He could have taken him out. But the bank gave him a free land, but that was again. Really you should have taken that off. Benefit of it.
So let's see what the we said last week that he improved the property by putting in infrastructure, but it belongs to him, and therefore he could really take it out, and if you want to use it, he can charge, but if you pay for it, then obviously if you get paid, then he can't charge anyone. So the question was he got paid last week? He got paid because he got a replacement position. He was compensated. But if you're not compensated, then you can ask for money. You're using mine, so you can ask it. So that's why we started with this case. Is this exactly the same case as last week?
Well, not if there's a clause in the lease that says it belongs to the landlord.
So what does that clause in the lease make a difference?
You're agreeing that you forfeit whatever you attach to the property.
But it's a mistake.
It doesn't matter. When you any business deal, it can be a mistake. You're the one okay. Who takes the risk of the mistake. If you make an agreement.
If the agreement was a mistake, then he got the contract.
Yes.
But if his action, he took a bad risk.
Yes. Okay. Everyone's very good. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch. The famous one that we've always talked about. Shnaim Shenit Vesuva. Hotzi Echot Hotzos.
Why can't you just say, fine, take your kitchen and put back mine?
No, he's happy to have the kitchen.
I understand, but I don't. Oh, he's happy to have the kitchen.
He's happy. He wants the kitchen. He wants the kitchen, but he doesn't want to pay for it. The owner of the property.
Oh, so he's not giving him the option of taking the kitchen out.
No.
Oh, okay.
If the guy stays 10 years, he keeps the kitchen for 10 years.
So Schneim Shenitvesu. Two people got captured in the jail. Rotsiach and Hotzaz. One of them paid to get himself out of jail. Im near the basin Shlohutzuk Lahabes Lahutzaz Bishvilo. If he's not paying more money to get also his friend out, he happens to also get his friend out with the same amount of money. He can't get compensated at all. Why? Because I did it to benefit myself, and I benefited, and I didn't lose, and therefore you're taking now benefit for even though I didn't lose.
What about that case with the guy that was carrying things out of the fire?
Yes.
So he had been started, even though it wasn't in the pot anymore.
Ah, but, so the difference is, who did he do it for over here?
Who did he do it for? Oh,
he did it to get himself out of jail. The case of Shulchan Aruch, he did it to get himself. He wasn't interested in getting his friend out. He happened to get his friend out.
Oh, in the melee, he didn't.
No, he didn't have any kavanas to get his friend out.
It wasn't like I hired an attorney and I said represent both of us.
No. He got his friend out because happened to get his friend out. He was doing it just to get himself out, and he happened to get his friend out. So he said the person doesn't have to compensate him.
But if on my side hired an attorney, and would it cost the same just me or for both of us? That said represent
yes.
both of us. Then he would be type.
Yeah, we'll see the next case. But we mentioned that last week. If you, it depends on your kavana. If your intention is to provide a service for the other person, it doesn't matter whether it costs you more or not. At the end of the day, you provided the service and you can get compensated. Here, if the intention is only to get provide yourself a service and it happens that the person also benefits, that person doesn't have to pay for the benefits. With one condition, says the Shulchan Aruch, as long as you didn't have to pay more money to provide that service, to get him out. Let's say we get you $100 to get yourself out, and you paid $115. And the extra $15 enabled you to get him out, your friends, then you need to get compensated. Now.
What if I said, you're only going out if you both, you pay $115.
You only what?
I won't let you out if you pay $115, both of you. How does that work? Is that considered that you're also doing it for him, or I can't get out of that for most of myself?
If there's a charge, is $115 to get yourself out?
Oh, it's all or nothing.
So then you're paying for yourself? Yeah? Now, the question in our case, relate it back to our case. In our case, did he do it for himself, or did it also for the owner of the house?
Who?
When you put the kitchen in, was he putting the kitchen in for his own personal use, or also the owner of the property? For himself. Before we get there, now, how do you know who's doing it for himself?
Why would he do it for the landlord?
Yeah, okay, that's why I'm doing it, but how do you know? Maybe he's also doing it for the one of us. Okay, I'm doing it because mainly for myself, the kitchen, but also doing it for the purpose of the balabos, the owner of the house.
Why would you assume?
Because when I put kitchen in the house, I'm not silly, this house doesn't belong to me. I know that by putting the kitchen in the house, it improves your property. So, yes, I wouldn't have done it to just improve your property.
Why should
I'm doing it because my wife wants it, but I know when I'm putting the kitchen in, I'm also benefiting the owner of the house.
Why would I be interested in benefiting the owner of the house?
I might as well, at the same time, I know that I'm benefiting him. It doesn't cost me extra money to benefit him.
Oh, I'll let it happen.
So so what's the difference when you're in the prison? Both you and your friend inside the prison, you know it takes $100 to get yourself out. And you know the same $100 will get your friend out. And we say that if you intend by paying $100 to get your friend out as well, then you get reincompensated. You get
there, I have the option of doing it only for me and leaving him out.
No, you have no option.
What?
No option. No option.
What about the original kitchen?
No option.
What do you mean no option?
You have not. The $100 will get you and your friend out, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
And we say, if your intention is for your friend also to go out, just with intention, then you get complicated. Because you're inviting him a service of getting me out of jail.
By then,
even in the case of Zen and Zelo Chosser, if I provide a service for somebody, even if it doesn't cost me money, then I can charge him.
But he's saying, if it's Zenev Zelo Chosser, you don't have to be mistaken.
Because I didn't intend to provide the service.
He doesn't say that here.
He does say that in the show.
Oh, inviter.
Yeah, we didn't expect that.
When you rented the property, you rented it with the
He rented with an original 10-year-old kitchen. And then he said to his wife said, put in a new kitchen. Okay, I put in a new kitchen. Now, when he's putting in the kitchen, does he know that it's also improving the property or not? Or is he silly?
He knows it, but he's not intending it. That's
so he's intending also to improve the property, yes?
Why would he rent it? First of all,
how do you know he's only intending to improve the property?
Standard landlord-renter relationship. Nobody wants to begin anything without any conversation.
Fine, he wants to do it because of his wife, but he knows at the same time that it is improved.
He knows, so he's doing it in spite of that, maybe. But
it's the same as the guy in the prison. What's the case of the prison?
No indication.
And what's the case of the case in prison?
What? You didn't show us the case in the prison.
The case in the prison, how I explain the case in the prison, two guys are in the prison, it costs $100 to get you out, and you automatically, by paying $100, it will get your friend out automatically, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
It says to Shulchan Aruch, if your intention when you pay the $100 is to get yourself out and your friends, then he owes you money. If you didn't have that intention to get his friend
Even
out,
though it's then
he doesn't. Yes.
Okay, so we have to see that. Shulchan
Aruch. Here, the guy, the tenant intends to basically use up all the use and value over the course of 10 years. He wouldn't have done it. He, by the time his lease is over, then he'll use all the value. He'll give no value, basically, to this landlord.
Ah, very good. So you hear what he said as an answer? The question is, how do we know what his intention is? Is he also intending to improve the property of the landlord, or is he only doing it for his benefit at all? Yeah?
He knows at the end of the 10 years the landlord's going to own.
Yes.
That's the thing.
So we have to say like this. His intention when he put the kitchen in was he intended to stay there for 10 years. Yes? So therefore, when he put the kitchen in, he was doing it for his wife and not for the landlords, because when he intended to leave was after 10 years of use of the kitchen, which would be the same type of status the kitchen was when he entered, which was also 10 years old. So therefore, when he put the kitchen in, he wasn't intending to benefit the landlord at all.
But it's still a benefit, because the old kitchen was 20 years
old. Right. How do we get past the lease clause?
You don't need to get past the lease clause. I'll tell you in a second why. Now, so therefore, when he's giving him a kitchen, he's giving back the same type of kitchen. So therefore, his intention, we see, was only to benefit himself. If so, he has no rights.
Why would we
to claim compensation? Because I was doing it for my benefit. He happens now to gain, but it's too late. You didn't intend for him to gain.
That if his wife didn't want the kitchen and his landlord did, that he would make the kitchen there?
There's no Havamina.
Is there a Havamina that if his wife did and his landlord didn't, that he would not make the kitchen in there?
He would still make the kitchen.
So it's obviously his landlord is not the cheshbon at all.
So it is. Let's say he was doing it for 1 year, and it's going to cost $100,000 for the kitchen.
Yeah.
He knows that, even if he's doing it for his wife, he knows I'm also doing it for the landlord.
That's not his intention to benefit.
No, but he knows that I'm doing it. I'm also doing it for
the
this guy.
Fact
for
that
his
he
sake.
Knows
all you have to do from the Shulchan Aruch we see to get compensation is not that I'm doing it to get money out of him or I'm doing it to give him out of my lave. I want to give him a chesed. No, the reason to get money compensation, all you have to do is say I know that I'm providing him a service. Whether that's my reason for doing it, it doesn't matter. I know that I'm providing him a service, then you can get compensation.
What about the first case?
In the case of the prison, yeah, we're saying, if you know that by paying the money, you're going to get your friend out, so when you pay the money, you know that this money is also going for him, therefore you can get compensation. If by paying the money, you didn't realize that your friend will automatically go out, so then you can't get compensation, because the money wasn't intended for a service for his benefit. So to get compensation, you just have to know that I'm providing you service. Whether that's the reason behind why you're providing service, doesn't really matter what the reason is. At the end of the day, if you know that you're giving him a service, and you gave him a service, then you can always claim compensation. So when you're putting this kitchen in, we have to discuss, did you think you were providing also a service to the landlord or not? And we decided, no, the reason why is because you intended to lease it for 10 years. The only reason why you're putting this kitchen in is because it's a 10-year-old kitchen already, so you want to make it new so you can have enjoyment to your person yourself. You don't intend that the landlord will benefit at all from what you're providing, so therefore you're not entitled to compensation.
Why? Kitchen that's so much more technologically advanced than the one I have.
Okay. Now this is only true. This is only true, maybe, if it's very close to the original status of the original kitchen. But if the original kitchen was 5 meters and I put in a 10-meter kitchen, yeah, and it was luxurious, yes, then of course we don't need. Then we're saying, of course, you intended also to benefit the landlord, because you know that even your 10-year-old kitchen is better from the previous 10-year-old kitchen. So therefore, you would be entitled to compensation in such a state.
Now, where does the Shulchan say this, though, that all I have to have is knowledge that you're going to benefit?
This case. If you want to read it inside, Beis Samach Dalet, Sif Dalet.
Yeah. Have a quote.
Read them all inside.
How about the clause?
Now, why is this different from last week's case? Where we said, you intended to do it for yourself, the infrastructure. And therefore, since you intended to do it for yourself, the infrastructure, when you leave the property, you can charge for the infrastructure. Why over here, when you leave the property, you can't charge for the kitchen? What's the difference? The answer is, like you said at the beginning, because of the clause. What's the clause say? That whatever you put into the property, you can never take out. Because the clause says, whenever you put in the property, you can never take out. Therefore, basically, when you put in the kitchen and you're saying, I'm definitely giving the kitchen to this property. Why I'm giving this kitchen to the property is not to benefit the landlord, just to benefit myself. But there's no question that I can ever take this kitchen out, because that's what the clause says.
Oh, it doesn't say without compensation?
No, it says everything that is added to the property belongs to the property.
Okay, is this the right simon? Because this is just a Zaveda.
Reis Samach Dalet, yeah, it's the right simon. Sif Dalet, in the Ramah, over there.
Oh, in the Ramah.
In the Ramah, over there. Okay. So then, that we discussed last week. If you're saying, look, as far as I'm concerned, you can take the new one you put in, you can take away, and you can put the old one back in. It's the same to me. I'm still going to get the same $1,000. So then that's a claim which we'll investigate if true. Then it's a rightful claim to say, if it's true, that he doesn't have to pay, even if you intend to provide me the service. When he claims that the service you provided me is not beneficial, and we can back up the claim with evidence, then you don't have to pay for that service. Let's move on to our second case. Most of the building, there's an apartment building. Let's say 14 members of the building. They want to do extensions to their building. Problem is, they haven't got enough meterage in the building to do the extension. So they have to hire somebody to go to the area, put all the right forms in, not just the area, also the new shalayim, to get extra meterage to the whole building. Yes, yeah, shinatav, of course. This is for you, Dan. Now,
pay the right people.
12 of the building, after great discussions, backwards and forwards, finally everyone agreeing. 12 out of the 14 want to go ahead with it. 2 out of the 14 say we're not interested in it. We don't need the mitzvah. We don't need it. What do you want to do? So they go to the person who they hired, and they said, look, there's only 12 out of us. You said it's going to cost us $20,000 to do it. Okay? There's only 12 of us. Is it cheaper? No, no, it's not cheaper. Doesn't matter if it's 12, 14, 2, 5. At the end of the day, I'm giving you meterage to the whole building. We can't just give meterage to 12 people and not for 14 people. We have to give meterage to everybody. So, I am charging $20,000. That's my charge. Whether you get 12 or 14, you have to pay $20,000. So, they said at the end of the day it's still worth it, they went ahead. But they put up a sign in the building and said, you know, we're giving meters to everyone in the building. Whoever does want to use it, fine. But if at any time you want to ever use those meters, then you're going to have to compensate us for laying out money on your behalf. Let's be simple. So what happened? They got the meters. After a few years, one of the people in the building, two small apartments, so he sold the apartment on. Sold the apartment on. Now, what happened was, is that since a long time had passed, when he sold the apartment, he had forgotten that his own apartment has meters. Extra meters. So he sold the apartment as is, as it physically is, without realizing that he has a potential here to gain money from the sale. So he got the price of his apartment without the extra meters. Shimon, the new owner of the apartment, does investigate and find out there is meters in his apartment. Kavazik, I got a wonderful deal. And he decides to use those meters and extend the apartments. The neighbors now come to Shimon and said, look, you should realize the person who you bought the apartment from, who got this meterage, never actually paid for that service which you provided him. Now that you are using that service that we provided, we want you now to compensate us for your share in that service. So, who has the right to live? No, it's not Mekotos. When we get to discuss all the issues of Mekotos, we'll tell you why. Basically, Mekotos there's very clear guidelines when you can claim Mekotos, and it doesn't apply here. Now, are the building entitled to get their money back for the service which they provided? They provided the service. You're using a service? So pay for the service. Yeah? Okay. So, let's go to our number two. The same halacha over there says the case of the jail. It says the clause, Avim Yorida Dash Neem, but if you invested money to get yourself out and your friend out, even though it doesn't cost you any more money, then you have to pay for the service provided. It doesn't cost you money, it doesn't matter. We look at your intention. You intended to provide a service, so you can get compensated for that service. So over here, they intended to provide the service for the whole building. They even put a sign up saying we're providing the service for the whole building. It doesn't cost us more money, because it's going to cost us $20,000 whether you join or not. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We go after your intention. Your intention is to provide service for the whole building. So therefore, you should be compensated for that service.
that, I would make him entitled to compensation from the original owner, but how is that liability transferred to the buyer?
Okay, that's a very good point. We can discuss that.
That would transfer the liability, and that would explain why the original owner is liable. But how is that transferred to the buyer?
No, typically
Let me tell you this.
Let's put an example in to answer your question.
What?
Give an example to answer your question. I come into your house and I go to your machzor, which you never use, and then I improve your machzor. I now make the all shelves over there. I make it now into like an office. But you don't know about it. Because you never use the machzor. So then you sell the property, and somebody moves in, and realizes that the machzor is wonderful now. Can I claim now the money from the person who moved in? Yes.
Why?
Why? Why not? Because
you didn't improve my... I'm the person who moved in. You didn't improve my property.
Yes, I did. Who sold you the property?
The guy who sold it to me.
Yes, he sold you to. Did he sell you also the machzor? Did he sell you also the machzor with its improvements?
Yes.
How can he sell the machzor with his improvements when he himself hasn't paid for those improvements?
Why not? People do that all the time.
He hasn't paid. You can't sell something which doesn't belong to you.
It can belong to you without paying for it.
Yeah, can't
that,
belong to you.
He made a Kenyan.
If you have a lien on your car.
If he didn't make a Kenyan, he doesn't owe the money.
There's a lien. There's a lien on the machzor.
What?
There's a lien on the machzor.
If there's a lien, that's one thing,
that's
but there's no lien.
That's a halachic lien. You have to pay for it.
Why is there such a lien?
Because the services provided, you pay for it.
So we'll go back to what we said 2 weeks ago. According to this, taking this logical conclusion,
yes.
If I have a raw piece of land and I build a house on it and I sell it to Reuven
with the land and the house, yes.
The land, and then Reuven sells it to Shimon. I can go to Shimon and say, you know, I put that house on the land. You owe me for that benefit that I got.
Correct. But the person who bought it can claim that, look, okay, I never realized, and therefore then you would have claimed the metal toss if he wants to break up the deal. The original
no,
selling.
No, I'm not making a clause, but what?
He has to pay. He can't own something that somebody sold
property,
which you don't have proper ownership over.
But he did have proper ownership.
Didn't have proper ownership.
That was the Kenyan. When he put it in there.
When I, a worker, provides you a good, and you don't pay for those goods, and you sell those goods on, and now the person who's bought it has using those goods, the worker can come to those persons and say, look, those were stolen goods.
Is that true? Hold on. Okay, let's see. I walk into an electronic store, okay, fully intending to buy something, and I make a Kenyan on a radio. I didn't pay the cashier yet, and then I sell it to you. Is that stolen goods?
That is stolen goods. It's not yours yet.
It sure is. I made a Kenyan on it.
If you never intend to pay...
I did intend to pay.
Are you paying?
I didn't pay yet.
So... Somebody doesn't pay. I'll go up to you. Are you going to pay? No, I'm not going to pay.
I am going to pay.
The original owner is going to pay?
I'm going to pay the original owner.
The original owner is going to pay? The shopkeeper goes up to the original owner. Are you paying?
Yes.
Today?
Maybe not.
So give it back. We don't give on credit.
Okay, so I'm paying
today. We don't give on credit.
I'm paying today. Now you agree?
Paying today, fine.
Okay, so now it's mine.
Yes.
Okay. Here, I'm selling it to you.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? I just ran out of money. I can't pay you anymore.
So then I say, okay, give the goods back.
I don't have them anymore.
It's like a lien.
So then you then
it's
stolen goods, and I take it back to the person who stole it.
I did not steal.
You didn't intend to steal.
I didn't steal.
No, but now at the end of the day, it's stolen goods. The showgate or the owners, whatever you want to say.
It's not stolen as well.
If you don't pay.
The price of stealing is taking something without permission.
If you don't pay ever,
yes,
then it's stolen goods.
I disagree.
Of course it is.
It's not.
If I walk into your house and buys a radio,
yes,
and walks out with a pen, you're going to say, oh, he's stealing.
It depends what his intention was when he walked off with the radio.
Once you've agreed to pay, and the shopkeeper's agreed to allow you to pay 2 days later, 3 months later,
or an hour later,
you've acquired it, and you no longer have an obligation to pay for a good.
It's nice in the whole
says the Nesivus, even though it's not related to us over here at all, the Nesivus says such a case like this. If somebody buys a good, And he says, give me a few days to pay for it. And I say, fine. And then after a few days, he doesn't. He says, sorry, I had money, was intending to have money, and I don't have money. Says the Nesivos, then that's called a Mekach Tos. Because I only gave the goods with a das to get money in exchange. Now that you haven't fulfilled your part of the bargain of paying for those goods, the goods were not sold to you. Therefore, they retract and go back to my ownership. Okay. So over here, I provided you a service of meters. You never paid for that service. Fine. The person who bought it is now using those. Have those meters been paid for? No. So therefore, they belong to me. If you want to use them, then you have to pay me.
The actual meters belong to them? Or
the service I provided, or giving the meters, yes, still have to be paid for. You don't have rights to use the meters unless you pay.
But is there a displaced intention? Meaning, if I intended to benefit you, the original owner, and you didn't benefit because the new guy who bought didn't pay you for them.
Yes.
If he paid you for them,
okay,
then I can say something. But I got nothing. You got nothing for it.
Okay.
So if I'm intending to benefit you,
yes,
and once you benefit, you have to pay me. So can I displace that to this new person?
Yes, because what we're saying is that the services are provided on condition of, you can use the service provided on condition that money has been paid for those services.
I just want to clarify something. The Sivo says that case was a Mekach Tos, right?
Yes.
That means it wasn't Gzela.
It would be Gzela if
it's
you
not
don't
a Mekach,
if you if you refuse to give back now the goods.
If you I don't have it. They don't have it.
So then you have to pay for them. And if you don't pay
for
them,
don't have that either.
You have to go and get it. So if I can get hold of whoever's got them, then you have to get hold of whoever's got them. It's like selling stolen goods. The same thing as selling stolen goods. By mistake. Now, that's what you would say, and that's what the Shus Yaakov says. Shus Yaakov says that intention is everything. If I intend to provide you a service, then you have to pay for the service to use the service. And if you don't pay, you're not allowed to use the service. There is a Nesivos who says like this. Nesivos of Mishpat says like this. Number 3. Hatam Nira. The reason why, when I tend to get you out of jail, even though it's not costing me any more money, the reason why you have to pay for it is, Kiven di Esha Linatso Belo Hotsos. Because the only way for you to get out of jail is for me to pay for you to get out of jail. You need it. Therefore, since I know that you need it and you want it and you have to have it, so I can force you to pay for it. Why? Because that's halacha in every case. When you got something which is needed for two people, and this can't be done without one person, can't do it for himself, he has to do it for his friends, then they can force each other to pay. Meaning that even if he says, don't pay money to get me out of jail, I can force you to pay money to get you out of jail, because we know that you needed to get out of jail. It's something which you have to get out of jail. It's something which you need. So therefore, we're like partners in getting ourselves out of jail. We're partners. It's something we both need. We're partners. If we're partners, we split everything 50-50.
What if you don't need it though?
Ah. So according to the Nesivos, this thing is true only when we both have to have this. If we both have to have this, then we're partners in this, and we can force each other to pay 50-50 for the hotsas. Now in the case, our case, of the meterage, did I need it? It's something you have to have?
How about the case of the kitchen?
Kitchen, we already said he doesn't have to pay. Does he have to have it? When he provided the service, at the time of providing the service, he had to have that service. The person who owns the apartment had to have that service. He didn't. What's the proof? He didn't use it. He didn't use it at all. Yes, when the service was provided, we're saying a rule here. At the time of the service provided, I can force you to pay if we're partners in this service. What defines partners in the service? When the service has to be provided to everybody, and everybody needs that service.
Everybody needs a bill. Everybody needs a sewage.
But not everybody needs meters. And the proof of the pudding is he didn't use it. He didn't use it. You can't force him to pay if he doesn't need it. He says.
When he
didn't take it. He didn't use it. He didn't. Ah, it's a very important why we care. We'll discuss that. But we're saying a rule over here. At the beginning, at the time that you provided the meterage to Shimon's apartment, did Shimon have to have those meterage? That I can force him. You're a partner here and you have to pay half because you have to have it. No, he doesn't have to have it. Not only that, he didn't use it.
No, but there was a sign saying if you do use it, it's going to affect us later.
What do signs mean? It says the Nesivos, the only way I can force you to pay if you're a partner. What makes you a partner? Because you have to have this service. If you don't have to have the service, then you can turn around and say, look, I don't need this service. Don't want this service. When it was provided to Shimon, the old one, did he use the service? He didn't use the service. What enables you to charge Shimon? The new one. What enables you to charge the new one? What knows no liability? Where's the liability? Okay, let's start from the beginning. We got a rule, Zenena Zelochosa. If I'm doing it, you're benefiting, but it's not costing me more money to give you benefits. We got halacha that you don't have to pay. I provide you a service. It doesn't cost more, because even if 12 people pay, it's still $20,000. Even 10 people send it. I need the service. It costs me $20,000, yes, this service. I'm the only one in the building who needs to have meters. It's going to cost me $20,000. Yes, I'm paying $20,000. Now, automatically, everyone else in the building is benefiting from it. Do they have to pay? Classic example of Zenana. They're benefiting without me losing, because it doesn't cost me more to provide it. Why can I charge you? Only because of one reason. Because I intended to provide you a benefit. Says the receivers, what does that mean? That means that you're a partner and therefore your partners have to share. What makes you a partner? Because you have to have it, and because you have to have it, you're a partner of it, so therefore you have to pay for it.
Put up a notice.
What do notice work?
The notice said that I'm only doing it because I'm putting in investing $20,000, so I know eventually I'm going to go back.
No, that's not true. It's not true. That's not why he's getting the meterage. He's getting the meterage because he wants the meterage, and that's why he's paying $20,000.
Can we know
even if they never use it, he'll still give $20,000 to it. He doesn't intend to get back.
You can go back to the area and tell them to take their meterage back.
You can't. You can't split.
Why not?
You can't.
So you can give them back.
No, I think Dan can say you can't split meterage like that. You can't split meterage.
Why not?
It doesn't work.
They gave it to you in the first place.
Okay, we're not talking about logically.
You're asking why the area doesn't operate logically?
Yeah. now, so when the point in the sieve is very limited, something which you definitely need, and if you definitely need, I can't force you to pay. So, if you don't need it, at the time, then I can't force you to pay. Later on, it's too late. Now, says the Gemara in Baba Basra, we have to try and fit this in the sieve with a Mishnah in Baba Basra over there. Says the number 4. Somebody surrounds a person's friend's field. I own a field, and I'm enclosing my fields from three sides. Let's say I own 4 fields, and somebody else owns the middle field. So I enclosed three of my fields. So what that meant, that means that the middle field, which belongs to somebody else, has now been surrounded by three fences, not four fences. The middle guy who's been surrounded on three sides doesn't have to pay for those fences because he gets the benefits because he's still open on the fourth side. Rabbi Yossi says that in Omat v'Godas HaRavius, if the middle guy then went and built the fourth side, Magalgano of the Kol, he now has to pay for all three fences. He has to pay all three fences because now he's benefiting from all three fences which was provided to him originally. Says Tosis the Kasha, which is our question. In Toma number 5, Zenen Evezelo Chosa and his potter. Why does he have to pay for the first three fences? He's benefiting, and the guy's not losing by his benefiting, because why did he put up the fences originally, the outer guy? For his own benefit, to surround his own field, and you happen to benefit. So why do you have to pay? Then you're getting benefits, they're low cost, he's not losing by you getting benefit. Why do you have to pay? Says Tosas in the answer. Yeshoma, Sha'ani Omad Nikav, the Giladata to Nichale Behotsa. Says Tosas, a famous Yusot. By the fact that he, the middle guy, went and spent money to build the fourth side, he revealed that he enjoyed always the three sides that was put up. He enjoyed those three sides. Says the Achron, what does Tosas mean? By putting up the fourth side, you showed that you always were, from the beginning, interested in the three sides being put up. So therefore, since you were always interested in the first three sides also being put up, then it means that it was needed for you. You needed it. If you needed it, then that means you were always were a partner. If you were always were a partner, then you have to now pay.
And if he sells the field,
before you go, so let's get clear that we're saying that we don't need to know that you need it at the time the service is provided. As long as you show that you need it later on, that shows that really it was always something necessary for you, and means you always were a partner, and means you can always charge him for half the cost. He's happy to spend money on getting this benefit.
We know he's happy to spend a quarter of the money, but we don't know he's willing to spend four times that money.
He only comes into action now.
Yes, Slum of Freya.
Well, yes, but he has to each one.
Right. And he built one whole one. So he offsets
well,
one.
Well, no. The other guy is not going to force him to.
No, that means that now he's financially able to do it. That means that he shows that it was something which was better.
One and a half.
We go after actions, not thoughts. So the actions prove to us that this was necessary for him.
It's nothing to do with the other guy.
It means it was then necessary for now.
It's only on his field.
That's what I've shown, that it was then necessary for
now.
So now we have to discuss what happens. So the person that you provided the service for, in our case, did he show that he needed it?
It doesn't matter how much time lapses between the time the three fences are up.
No, because it's the same type of answer. Even if we can't say that he always, at the time he was provided, he definitely needed it then, but now he's doing it now, it proves that he needed it done then for now. Even if it's 10 years later. I needed it done then in order to benefit now, so therefore I was already a partner then. So the question is, in our case, the person who was provided the service, did he show that he needed this service? Did he show?
No,
the one who owned the property originally when he sold it?
No.
No, he didn't show it. He didn't use it. And he didn't even didn't charge for it. He never showed it. If he never showed it, so you can't charge him. Okay, the new guy comes in. Can you charge him? How can you charge him?
No, I don't.
His service is not on the bureau, not on the
anything.
You can't charge him. Because he was never in existence. He didn't live there. The whole pshat of the Nesivos is, you are my partner. I just have to try and prove that you're my partner. How do I prove you're a partner? You show interest in it with money later on. That means that you're already partner when I provided the service. But if you weren't in existence when you were around, you would definitely, physically, well, you can't be a partner. The only person who I could get as being a partner was the original owner, and he never showed interest.
But if he sold it, saying it's building rights.
Ah, if he actually used the, then the selling it and actually charging for those, that shows he's interested. And who can you go to?
The original owner,
not the guy who moved in.
Does sign have any
status? Signed you? If you sign such a piece of paper, fine. So that's now the eitza I give to you. It's not good enough to put up a sign in the building saying, oh, we provided you meters, and therefore if you ever use them, we're going to charge you. Because you could get into this situation. If you want to be assured that glut, that when that's, you're going to get your compensation if it's ever used, those meters, then you have to sign people up on the document that says that if at any stage that I use it, or I sell it on and charge more money, or even if I just sell it on and don't charge any money for it, then I will be liable to make sure that the person who buys it commits himself to pay, and in event he doesn't, then I will be liable myself to pay for that. Yes, you have to convince him. No, the new neighbor could. Yeah. But it's unlikely to happen, because as soon as somebody knows there's meters around, yeah, he usually uses it in some form or manner. Either he builds or he sells it on and charges more. As soon as he does that, he's liable to pay.
Even if
he didn't sign. Because he showed, like this case, he showed that he wants to use it. So that proves that he is a partner all along. I'm going to...
Let's say he had the money all along, and we know there's a shinui matzah between the time...
Ah, so that's the same answer. We know for sure for the last 10 years he didn't need it, for sure. And now he needs it. But the fact that he takes it now, he's saying, I needed you to do it then for now. So therefore, I'm a partner already then for now. So I'm going to give you a homework to think about for next week. You wouldn't believe it, but this case came to Basin. But it did. Reuven was in a rush. He was in his car. He was in a rush. Very big hurry. He parked his car and was about to run into the shops, where he saw, I'm going to say English words because I don't want Americans to say about this, a traffic warden. What's a traffic warden in English?
Traffic cop.
Traffic cop. Okay. And he saw a traffic cop on his way. And he said, oh, I better put money into the meter. So he quickly put money into the meter, ran into the shops. He came out of the shops, 10, 20 minutes later, came to his car and saw that he got a ticket. 250 shekel fine. What's going on? I put money in the meter. So he went over and he realized in his rush, he put money in the meter of the car next to him instead of him. And now he's got 250 shekel fine. So he decided, you know what, I'm going to wait for the guy who owns the car to come out. Well, we'll make some sort of agreement, friendly agreement. He came out, the uncle came out, and he said to him, look, I put money in your meter by mistake, but I saved you from a fine. Look, 250 shekels, you would have had a fine. So the uncle said, you know what, I never pay for meters. I always take a chance. And thank you very, very much. I'm very appreciated. And have a nice day.
And he gave him 2 shekels.
No, he didn't even give him 2 shekels.
He didn't pay for the money.
So Reuven was flabbergasted at the chutzpah of the person. You know, I saved him 250 shekels. I lost 250 shekels. And he doesn't even want to pay 250 shekels or part of it or even the money for that 3 shekels which I put into the mitzvah. So he said, this is not on. I'm taking him to Beis Din. And Kachaya took him to Beis Din. So the shaila is he mechuyev to compensate him for the 250 shekels? Mechuyev to compensate him for the 3 shekels? Or
something.
Anything. Or not. Then you have to clear, why do you go to Beis Din for this?
People like that. They'll spend
$100,000. There's a rule that Chasam Sofer says, is that when it comes, bottom line, all Dinei Torah is not money, it's covered.
Even when it's money.
I had the story of the Chasam Sofer. A person came on with a shiloh about a cow 1 week, whether it's kosher or treif. And the Chasam Sofer passed him that it was treif. And he lost lots of money on that cow. The following week, the same person came in with a Din Torah with his friends, which was for a tenth of the price of the money he lost last week. And again, the Chasam Sofer paskin negates him, who lost the cow last week. After that pesach, he started the kallel the Chasam Sofer right, left, and center. The Chasam Sofer didn't say anything. So he left the room, and the Talmidim Chasam Sofer said, "What's going on? He lost 10 times much more money last week, and he didn't bother him. This week it does." So he said to the Chasam Sofer, "I'll give you a clown life. This week, last week was not a pigia in his covert. There was no fight between him and the cow. It's just him. So he lost money for Seder. He's willing to accept losing money. This week is a fight between him and his neighbor, and he lost. That's a pagam in his covert. That's much worse. Most in the Torah do that. So that's probably the pshat over here.
Isn't there also the pagam in somebody who asks him that you're not permitted to be wholesale something that should go to the children?
3 shekels you can know, or 200. The whole Din Torah costs 400 shekels. What you got?
Really?
Yes, it costs a lot. Okay.
Do they have a basement? Do they have where, like, the other